All right, we're back with you, and a little open line. Patrick Doyle will be here in just a few moments, so it's always fun to have him around. You never know what he's going to say, and when he does say it, it's usually profound. So we'll talk to him in just a few moments. We'll take a phone call as they come in. Mark, you got a comment this morning?
Yeah, I was just going to comment that I would like people to be more sympathetic to the use of deadbeat dads as a term, because I think it should be deadbeat parents, because I work two jobs to support my son and I. And, you know, he has an abandoned mom, and I just think that the term deadbeat dad is just a term of the past. I mean, we're way past that. We have a lot of dads raising their kids now. So I would just like to see a term like that be expelled. And
yeah, that's a good parent. Thought. Well, you know, it's interesting you'd say that, because the thought crossed to me that we know that there are cases where it's on the other side as well, and I appreciate that. So thanks for bringing that to our attention, friend.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, a little open line today, 776-5368, 1-800-373-5368. Hey, Patrick Doyle's here. He's a local area counselor, and turning out to be one of the most popular guys on the show. I guess now, Patrick, I can leave and you can do your thing. I mean, you're getting more mail than I am.
No.
There's just something wrong with this.
If you leave, they'll get dead air because I won't know how to push a button.
I'm beyond jealous, but I probably need counseling.
I can help you
with
that.
You know a good counselor?
I can help you with that. No, I think that's somebody I can refer you to.
No, a lot of people really appreciate your contribution to what happens here at the Dove, and more importantly, your constant referencing back to the source of everything.
Yeah,
well, the Lord.
There's our hope, right?
Yeah, there's our hope.
We don't have any hope outside of Him.
That's for sure. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I got some allergies going, so if I sound like I have a cold, did by doze.
Yeah,
it's my allergies.
It's the allergies. Well, it's that time of the year.
I've avoided them until the last couple of days. It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I used to be so incapacitated I couldn't go to school when I was a kid.
Hey, get one of these books for your sweetheart.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah, take it with you on your way out.
I'll do it.
One of these free Thanks for Being a Mom books.
You know, that's a cool thing you do, because I think that in our culture, the pace at which we live, I think we forget that sometimes. And, you know, I've noticed that with my wife particularly, and I think this is true for other ladies, and if I'm wrong, call in and tell me. But I think what happens is that we get so busy, we forget how much wives and moms actually do. And they do a lot of things that we can take for granted. And I know for my wife, just simple thank yous and recognition that those things are happening, mm-hmm. and that they're appreciated is like water to the soul, because it makes her feel like there's value to that stuff. And one of the things that's interesting that you brought that up, because one of the things I wanted to talk today is about, you know, how we can kind of, our lives can get in a rut, and we can feel like everything's very mundane, mm-hmm. and there's no, you know, I don't have any value because I'm not the guy, you know, preaching, or I'm not the guy who's, you know, out doing whatever, and I just have a mundane life. I take care of kids. I go to work. I clean house. I, you know, do all these chores, and it's really, you know, there's no value in it. There's no eternal value in that.
Yeah.
And I would say that's absolutely wrong. I think that there's, you know, there's huge eternal value in it. And I was reading through Romans again, and I came across a scripture that I'd like to share, and then we'll talk about how the life of the mundane connects to this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering.
Wow, where's that?
That's Romans 12:1 in the Message. So,
wow.
It
sure reads different that way. Say that again. I think you ought to repeat that. Huh?
Okay.
I'm going to look it up here in the Gideon Bible.
Okay.
Romans 12:1.
Romans 12:1.
All right. So Romans in the New Testament? No. Go ahead.
Last time I checked. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And that wasn't done. I want to go on. Embracing, this is the line I really wanted people to hear. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Think about that. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. So what has He done for you? Have you made some mental notes of things God has done for you. When you start thinking about that, you recognize that, oh my gosh, God has been so good to me. And look, I do have this mundane life, but you know what? I know there's people all over the world that would die to have your mundane life.
What's verse 2 say in the message there?
I don't know what verse you're talking about, but after 12, that...
12:2. It doesn't give the numbers in there.
Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And here's the other part I wanted to touch on. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out.
All right, now, let me read that to you, because this is the scripture that we're more familiar with.
Right, exactly.
It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying there is in the message really brings it home.
Yeah, fix your eyes on God. And, you know, that's a statement that I've heard David make. In Psalm 42, David says it. As the message renders it, it's, you know, when my soul was in the dumps, why are you crying the blues, dear soul? Fix your eyes on God. Soon you'll be praising again. And so here's what I think happens. I love the line in the DC Talk song. They say the physical world creates a spiritual haze. And I think that's absolutely true. We live in a world that's very fast paced. It's got a lot of distractions. Not to mention, I got my own flesh to deal with. I got my own carnality, my own dark heart to deal with. I got the world pulling at me. I got responsibilities. It's real easy to lose sight of God and be focused on this world, all the responsibilities I have, bills and relationships and children and jobs and bosses and employees. And there's all these things that can distract you. And what God is saying is, lay that in front of me as an offering. Now, nothing you do is meaningless. Everything has meaning. And this goes back to that scripture. He says, you know, you're to live Paul says, in light of what he's done, it's only reasonable, man, that we should live as a sacrifice. You know, if you think about what God has done for you, why would you not respond to that with a life of sacrifice? And trying to give back to God the overwhelming, unbelievable, incalculable gift He's given to you, why wouldn't you live your life as an offering back to Him? It's only what would be reasonable.
Oh, I'm not good enough.
Exactly. Which means that you don't understand the gospel. Your goodness has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Him. He said that He's the one who paid the price. He is the author and the perfecter, not you. So a lot of times what I hear people thinking, Perry, is that they get saved, quote unquote, and now it's up to them. God got them saved. Now it's up to them to keep it. And God says, no. Without my spirit in you, you can't survive one nanosecond in my presence. No imperfection can exist within God's kingdom. And so as like Hebrews 12:10 says, you know, He's made us perfect so that we're presentable inside and out. God has made us perfect. Think about that for a second. When you stand before God, what's He going to judge? There's nothing left. He's taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of for you, God's child. Now, for those outside the kingdom, that's a different story. But for those of us who are inside the kingdom, He's not going to, there's no judgment waiting.
It's bread for us on the inside. It's foolishness for those on the outside.
That's right. And yeah. And it's hard to take in. And so here's what I see a lot of people do. They get real busy doing stuff. They get real busy doing stuff. They're doing stuff. They're doing stuff. And they're doing good stuff. It's not bad stuff. They're doing good stuff. But they feel empty. It doesn't really provide them with the satisfaction or the peace or the well-being that they had assumed would come with it. And what I'm saying is that the only way that
I just need to try harder.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just need to do more.
And in Romans 8, Paul talks about, you know, the law is death. Doing more is not the answer. You can't do enough. If you could do enough to satisfy God, the cross would be unnecessary.
Ooh, there is a statement.
Yeah. You can't do enough. You know, you're doomed. Apart from God infusing you with His Spirit, His life, you cannot make it. That is the gospel. That's a beautiful thing.
I think we forget that it's blessed to be poor in spirit.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
I mean, it's a blessing.
There's what I can do.
It's a blessing to be spiritually bankrupt.
Well, and the scripture says it's in our weakness that he is made strong. And this goes sort of against the grain of our culture, of our upbringing. You know, the American way, you're going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're going to be a self-made man. You're going to, you know, work hard and you'll be rewarded. And there's all those mindsets. And really, God says in my economy, it's opposite. You can't be strong without weakness. Your weakness is your strength. Your weakness is your testimony. Look at what God is doing inside of, just take me, for example. I mean, how do I get here? How did I make it? Mm-hmm. Was it because I did all the right things and I read all the right books and I went to church enough and I prayed enough? And no. Like I've said before, my only contribution to my relationship with God has been resistance. That's my contribution.
Wow.
He's carried me. I haven't done it. He's made a way. I mean, now you start hearing all the scriptures. He makes a way. He provides. He does. Exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can ask or think. He. So what it says in the scripture here is that you fix your eyes on God, you will be changed from the inside out. Now, I know there's a lot of people listening that desire that change. You want things to be different on the inside of you. The way that things get different on the inside of you is by focusing on God, not you.
Yep. I'm looking for that scripture. Go ahead.
So,
you just preach. I'll look for the word. We're talking to Patrick Doyle. He's here. If you want to join us, 776-5367.
Yes, please do.
He's preaching to me, and I'm preaching back. So anyway, here's the number, 776-5368 or 1-800-373-5368.
So, you know, I know that many people desire that change that comes from the inside, and a lot of us get frustrated, and I know that some of you out there listening can relate to this. You get frustrated because you try and you try and you try and you try, and it seems like you go nowhere. And
here it is.
Go ahead.
I found it. It's Romans 8, verse 29. I don't know if you can get it in the message because they didn't have any numbers.
No, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to his image, that he might be the firstborn among many. More of whom he predestined, these he also called, whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. So the next time the devil gets in your face, just cross your arms and go he, and laugh in his face.
That's a good one. He.
Yeah.
I mean, does it get much clearer than that?
Yeah.
From start to finish, it's he. Yeah. Not I. And here's the problem. When you start looking at you, things are going to unwind. Things are going to get worse. Power won't be available. Intensity will increase. Because you and I, first of all, here's one of the secrets to life. You don't have the wisdom to understand what is actually supposed to happen. That is only, we think we do. The truth is only God knows. I don't know the future. I don't know. But God does. He knows what's going to happen. I don't. Mm-hmm. So why would I trust myself? If I'm sitting next to somebody who knows the next 5 days, they know in absolute intimate detail what's going to happen the next 5 days, why would I trust what I know when I don't know anything? Why wouldn't I look to them and say, what should I do? Mm-hmm. What should I do? What should I do? You know, and particularly if that person sitting next to me was totally 100% every single time I talked to them, absolutely, without fail, good.
Patrick Doyle's with us. Our phone number is 776-5368. You can get a free counseling session here. And by the way, if you want to remain anonymous, we'll respect that request as well. But you don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to pay for this one. 776-5368. The number to his office, he does counseling, one-on-one, 301-5500. 301-5500. You know, there is such a spiritual hunger.
Yeah,
in the world today and in America, people are really looking for truth. Christians are even starting to question their faith. Mm. They're starting to say, Do I really believe what I think I believe, or do I believe what I've been taught to believe? You know, that can be healthy. It also can be dangerous.
That's right.
But it goes back to, is there anything spiritual about doing the laundry? Is there anything spiritual about getting in the car and going to work every morning at 7:30?
Absolutely.
Is there anything spiritual about typing on a computer? Is there anything spiritual about putting $4 a gallon of gas in my car?
Now that's evil.
You know, but I mean, you know, I think you are so right. We get into these ruts, these routines.
Right.
And they become mundane.
That's right.
And it wears on you.
That's right. And it does. And so think about the most mundane, inane, tiring thing you do. And think about it being redeemed by it being a worship toward God. Now it becomes something that you could actually look forward to. You know, I've never really enjoyed digging ditches. Although I have had some pretty good worship sessions while I did so. So it's not so much what you're doing, it's what's in your heart when you're doing it. So God,
I love getting on the lawnmower.
You do?
Oh, it's another noise. It's not the cell phone. It's not my computer blinking at me saying that I got another email that I got to answer right now.
No one can talk to you because you can't hear them.
You know, some of my best thinking is when I'm breathing in exhaust from a gas engine or maybe a diesel on my tractor, just, you know, listening to that roar. I can do some of my best thinking there.
So you're a pilot, Perry. Tell me, have you had some pretty intense spiritual experiences up in the air?
Oh, man. You know, the years that I flew over Sacramento, about the last 2 years that I flew over Sacramento, I flew with a Bible on my lap. I did.
Awesome.
And I'd get up and I'd, you know, because a lot of times I was flying alone. I'd do the traffic. I did, flew for the radio station. I'd do the traffic reports. And I'd always be up before the sun came up. So flying an airplane with the Bible on your lap and having the sun come up the Sierra, which was up over Tahoe. And I'd seen that every morning. It was just spectacular. And the Lord led me to begin to pray for the city. And the day we left town to come to Medford, that week, Billy Graham came to town and did a crusade.
So, you know, that I've been up a couple of times.
I got to get you up.
Yeah, I've been up a couple of times. I took some lessons at one point. And I remember
bringing a lunch back in a bag.
That won't be hard to accomplish.
Did you want to be a helicopter pilot?
Yes, I did. That's still one of my passions in life. One of these days, I'm gonna have the time to learn to fly. But you know, I was up there, and the guy that I was up there with, he's a great brother, and you know, I was just there's just something about when I got that high up in the air and I looked down. It, like, reordered my perceptions.
It's
like,
so peaceful.
Well, not only that, but you're way up there, and you realize when you're down on the ground, man, that building looks really big. But when you're up there, it seems so small and insignificant. And I think, you know, if you start looking at things from God's perspective, you get way up there, and you realize that, you know, from God's perspective, he's not sweating anything.
Well, you know what's so interesting? When I fly and you go up high in altitudes and you look down and all of a sudden you don't see cars anymore. Well, you kind of do. You don't see things moving down there. And you realize that in that car is a human being.
That's
and
right.
Inside that human being, God is living in that heart.
That's right.
So the God that created all of it can go from spaceless to time and eternity and then bring it into a human soul. It's a remarkable thing.
And so when you start fixing your attention on God, suddenly the issues that you have get reprioritized.
I got to go up there. That's where I air out. You know, I just some things come back into perspective.
That's right.
Yeah. Hi, Renee. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in with, I guess it's more of confirming kind of what you've been talking about. I got up late this morning, and so I was sitting down going, oh, Lord, now I've got a ton of things to do, and I'm up late. And
it's already ruined.
Exactly. All those mundane things that I have to get going on.
Yeah.
And
there's always tomorrow.
Yeah, there's always tomorrow. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Why do the day what you can put off to tomorrow?
So I'm doing a Beth Moore Bible study right now, and I look down at my Bible study, and it's talking about you know, Satan wanting all his purpose and methodically to put unholy kinks in God's holy plan for our life. And she said, you know, that she's learned, you know, how to put holy kinks in Satan's unholy plans for our lives. So I started thinking about that, and I thought, okay, I'm going to put some holy kinks in Satan's unholy plan for my life today.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought of holy kinks, I kind of felt like I brightened up, and the first things that came to my mind were rejoicing in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
blessing others,
mm-hmm.
and being loving.
Right.
Those were the first things that just filled me
uh-huh.
when I thought of holy. What are holy kinks?
Right.
Wow.
So it was really kind of neat. So I was like, whoa, okay, that was the little list I needed to get going.
Right.
All right, so the operative word today is holy kink.
There you go.
That's wonderful.
Right.
Thanks, Renee.
You're welcome.
All right,
God bless.
All right, then we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Excuse me, I pushed off my own mic. Everybody said hallelujah. We'll be right back.
Call now to be a part of Balance Point at 776-5368 or toll free 1-800-373-5368. That's 776-5368 or toll free 1-800-373-5368. There's more Balance Point coming up on The Dove.
In our news headlines, a National Weather Service forecaster says the rain falling in Florida may help some, but isn't likely to offer long-term help for firefighters battling brush fires. Thousands of acres have burned, and smoke has caused on and off closures of I-95. Some sections south of Daytona Beach reopened today. A top hospital official says two rescued Australian miners, they're in excellent physical condition, but their mental state may be more at risk. The two men were trapped underground for 2 weeks before yesterday's rescue. One was spotted getting a cocktail at his local pub today. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden is among those questioning whether General Michael Hayden should be CIA chief, and there's concern that a late run of spring Chinook salmon on the Columbia River may be too small to allow the season to reopen. I'm Steve Johnson. Now you're up to date with the latest news on The Dove.
As a station supported by your gifts, The Dove appreciates your partnership. Some have decided to do so through their business, such as P.K. Hallinan's Children's Books, sharing the message of Christian love with young readers all across America. P.K. Hallinan's Books use playful rhyme and colorful art to offer character-building Christian values in a gentle and entertaining way. And Tark's Market and Talent for all your grocery needs, including a full-service deli, bakery, and custom meat-cutting department. Thank you for supporting The Dove.
Psst, hey, it's not too late to get that special gift for Mom on Mother's Day, and all you have to do is enter to win at thedove.us. From now until Friday, we'll be collecting names for the drawing of a beautiful hanging basket from Four Seasons Nursery. All you have to do is go to thedove.us and click on our entry form. During the morning show on Friday, we'll announce the winner, so be sure to enter at thedove.us. You can also stop by the Dove Studios and register to enter. Make sure to celebrate Mom on Mother's Day with The Dove.
Hey, we only got a couple days left, and Mother's Day coming up this weekend. We're going to give that beautiful basket away, Patrick.
Okay.
Friday morning.
Where do I pick it up?
Yeah. You got to register, pal. You got to fall in line.
Oh, darn.
Anyway, it's a gorgeous basket. There's a picture of it on our website. I'm bringing it up so you can see it here.
Uh-huh.
It is absolutely gorgeous. Tim Elbert out at Four Seasons made this available to us. And here's what we want you to do. Just go to the website, and it'll tell you pretty much what to do. There it is. Isn't that pretty?
Wow. And he makes some baskets,
man. This is a multicolor hanging basket. There's a picture of one that's kind of like, you know, it's like the one you're going to get. It's not the actual one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, these things are gorgeous. And
yeah.
Fill it out, and we're going to draw a name out on Friday morning. In the meantime, we have these little books called Thanks for Being a Mom. We got about 45 of them. There's been a few people come by this morning. So it's first come, first serve, one per family. Come on by. We'll give you one. We'll just give it to you. Called Thanks for Being a Mom. It's a little booklet all about motherhood and moms, and there's scripture, and there's prayer, there's special thoughts. You know what? This is small enough. You can just tuck it into your Mother's Day card. And if you want this, just come on by. We'll give it to you at our office here, 1236 Disc Drive. All right, Patrick Doyle's with us. We're talking about turning the mundane into worship.
That's right. That's right.
Boy, what a thought.
It's possible.
Yeah. You know, I have no windows in my office.
Yeah.
And I'm going crazy. I really am. I'm starting to bounce off the wall today. You know, on. I got to get out of here. I got to go out. I go out and walk around the parking lot and just, you know.
Talk on the phone.
Well, I don't. Well, yeah, I just start talking to a tree. It's, you know, golly, it's just driving me crazy. Hopefully this year we'll build our own building. I'll get an office with a window in it.
We'll make sure we put that in the plan.
Yeah, but anyway, I have to tell you, all of a sudden I got my head down and phone calls. And I don't mean this in a critical way. It's just my life is meetings and interruptions.
Right, right.
That is my life.
Yeah.
Meetings and interruptions.
As a manager.
You know, but after you wake, you'll pull your head up, and all of a sudden it's 4:30, and kind of go, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't tell you that I approach this stuff with a very worshipful mind. So counsel me, Coach. What am I doing wrong?
Classic. Well, I think you describe a lot of people, Perry, when you say that. Because, you know, people who have a lot of responsibility and are very productive, there's a certain element of requirement that is on you. You can't just ignore all that stuff and continue.
Yeah.
You have to take care of it. And it requires your attention. But what I hear the scripture encouraging us to do is, in the midst of that, instead of looking at that solely, we lift our eyes up and we think of who God is and what he has done for us. And that fuels us to take care of what we're doing. Like the caller said, you know, she was infused at that moment with gratitude and love. That's something the Holy Spirit does that enables you. So instead of being distracted and sort of pulled apart by all those responsibilities and those interruptions and those things, we actually get fed by allowing God to meet our needs as we do it as an act of worship. And then we recognize that he's the one in charge and that he's the one who's given us the opportunity instead of another responsibility. I got to do this again. And I'm guilty of it just like anybody else. We get kind of strung out on, well, you know, I wish I didn't. And that's selfishness. The truth is, every time you breathe, you ought to celebrate God's goodness, because it is his goodness that's allowing you to breathe.
Yeah.
If it weren't for his goodness, you'd be doomed to hell. So and far beyond that, God, in his infinite mercy and grace, like John said in 1 John, he's this love he's lavished upon us. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming. If you start to focus on that, like Romans says, if you start to focus on him, I guarantee you, you will be changed from the inside out. That's what the scripture promises. So a quick, funny analogy. So some of you out there, do you ever see the movie Three Amigos?
Uh-huh. Up here.
Yeah, you know exactly where I'm going. So Steve Martin's on the wall of the fort.
Up here.
The other guys are around on the bottom, and the bad guys are trying to get him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're scared.
Yeah.
And so he's on the wall, and he's trying to let them know where he's at without alarming the bad guys that they're there. And so Steve Martin is up on the wall, and he's going, look up here.
Yeah.
And so I often think of that. As if God is saying that to me.
Up here.
I'm down here, mm-hmm. and I have all the bad guys who are trying to get me.
Mm-hmm.
And God's saying, look up here. Mm. Look up here. Oh. And then I look up there, and I'm realizing, oh, well, these bad guys really got nothing on you, God.
Yeah.
What am I worried about? But you see, that's a constant back and forth. And I think one of the things I hear a lot of people say is that, you know, well, I just can't stay there. Well, join the club. Nobody stays there. It's an effort every day. Jesus said, each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't get worried about tomorrow. Don't freak out about the past. You'll have to deal with whatever parts of those things are influencing you today. But all you have to deal with today is today. And you can't change that. You can't supersede God's agenda. The best thing you could do is surrender to it and focus on him and hear from him, therefore bringing meaning to the very mundane things you have to do or the very exciting things you have to do. If I get to go preach to 1,000 people, that's just as important as my wife taking care of my kids today in God's economy. They're the same.
Well, you know, we're going to go into Mother's Day, and I realize it's one day that we recognize mom, but we mm-hmm. are bringing focus to the fact that moms who do a lot of mundane, moms mm-hmm. and wives who do mm-hmm. a lot of mundane, that it sincerely is appreciated.
Absolutely.
Because
it should be.
When you go back and you start, you know, we talk about moms, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you talk about your own mother, and these things conjure up, you know, stories.
Right.
And it's because moms were consistent at what they did.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm. well, and
I mean,
you know,
my mother threw a boot at my brother. My brother ducked, and the boot went through the window. And the three of us fell on the floor and laughed, and my mother cried. It's a great story. We love it.
She still feels
my
guilty.
Mother was too tiny to taste it.
Yeah, she still feels guilty for trying to kill your brother.
Yeah, it was great. She was aiming at him, not at me. So anyway.
But you get lucky every once in a while, Perry.
Yeah, I just think, you know, granted, we're gonna recognize Mom. And we do it one day out of the year, and it's wonderful. But
right. The
fact of the matter is that the rudimentary, and I get stuck in it, Patrick, I tell you, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Mr. Counselor, going to your prayer closet can be rudimentary.
Oh, absolutely.
You can get in there and go, all right, I got seven minutes to talk to God because on the eighth minute I got to be plugging the coffee in.
Right.
I mean, you know, it can become very rudimentary.
Exactly.
And routine, and all of a sudden you're stung by it. I just got through reading for the third time Blackaby's book called Holiness. It's just a little book like that. It's a hot iron in the side. And it poked you pretty good. But the point is, even your prayer, your meditation, your time alone, your thinking, all of this can become rudimentary.
Absolutely. You can X God out of the equation of your prayers. Mm-hmm. It becomes you rehearsing, you know, whatever's in your mind. And, you know, again, it's when you're focused on you that these things happen. I need to plug in the coffee. I got to get going. I need to get to that meeting. That's focused on you. God says, like you said, like you read out of Romans, He made you perfect. He brought you into the kingdom. He is going to take care of you. He is going to finish what He started. Why would He do that? Why would God even, like David said, know my name?
L-O-V-E.
It's just absolutely pure, unadulterated mercy and grace. God, it's insanely unjust that He would love any of us. Mm-hmm. If He were going to do justice, none of us would be here.
Yeah, you're gone.
Exactly. So it's this insane, overwhelming, overpowering love and mercy that He has bestowed upon us. If you focus on Him and that, it changes you from the inside out. And so the person around you who's really pestering you. Now, I know there's situations out there that are so serious that you're going to need help to get through because some people are just so mean or unworkable. But as a rule, even in those situations, if you're looking to God for your strength, you will survive. If you look to the person that has hoping that they will change, you'll be overwhelmed. You'll just give up, and you'll just knuckle under and survive. And what I'm saying is that God, in His grace and in His beauty and in His power, has already mapped out the very best plan for your life. And He will not be swayed. Like Job said, it's obvious that no man can thwart the plan of God.
Well, He knew it in advance what you would do.
Well, he's got it. The end is good.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. Do you recognize what that really means? Do you realize that that means that nothing bad can happen? You will have difficult circumstances. But according to the scripture, God works all of those things that are either done to you or done by you into His plan for your good, every single time, without exception. There's not one exception. But when you're looking at the problem, you're not thinking about that. When you're looking at the problem, you're not thinking about Him. You're thinking about the consequence, the outcome, what you have to do to get around it, how are you going to solve this, and how are you going to do that. And the truth is, you don't have enough power to deal with all that stuff. Last time I checked, I can't even control myself, let alone the circumstances around me. So if I can give it over to a loving, caring, good God, I'll be much better off.
Even the routine.
The problem is, a lot of us don't see God as loving and caring and helpful and good. A lot of us see God as somebody who can't be trusted.
Patrick Doyle.
But He is good.
He is good. Patrick Doyle with us today, and the number to his office is 301-5500. And thanks, Bud, for coming in.
You
got any more seminars coming up right
now? No, I'm kind of I just did a little series of them, and so I'm free. If you want me to do one, I'll be glad to come do it.
Yeah, okay. At your church, give them a call and come over. What do you like doing your most?
You name it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
See?
You prop me up, I'll start talking.
Even the routine. Well, it's true. He's a wind-up doll here. All right, thanks, man.
See you.